This episode contains adult language and discussion that may be disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess we're going to have to put all of the conversation aside and we're going to have to start anew and start talking about porn addiction.
All right.
Okay, so I guess we've got Mr. Kivel here to talk to us about porn addiction.
Would you like me to start, or would you like to start from kind of some kind of specific point you are interested in?
Well, I guess introduce the subject to us.
Okay, so the porn addiction is basically a need, an uncontrollable need to watch pornography while masturbating, as an example. It's something that we should be very careful of and be aware of, because for what it seems like is that the average child that is having the average age of the child having his first or her first contact with the addiction is at the age of 13. We are talking about the average. When I met some people personally and we talk about this, which I'm grateful, because like coming and opening up about having a porn addiction is just it's tough, but it's important. Some of the children like have been exposed to pornography at the age of 6. It was described as a quiet pandemic. All small, like 80% of the people watched it. And like 76% of people watch it at least once per month. And it is a very taboo topic to talk about. And the problem is that people are shy about it. They fear the judgment, and because a lot of the times we are almost like growing up with it, with the pornography, the effects of it are very subtle. And who knows, like we can only debate like how much of nowadays society's values are or have been integrated by the porn and are like aligned with the porn. What if what we value in society is not actually the true value? It is just like portrayed to us in order to use this product.
That's certainly a very deep and broad overview of the matter. So what do you think are the steps needed in order to overcome porn addiction? Or do we not jump there yet? Shall we first talk about...
So one of the hardest thing, but one of the most important things is to opening up. Because if you don't open up, you are sort of like living in this fog of a fog that is just covering the truth, covering what is real in your life. If you don't open up and if you don't talk about addiction, you are believing you are in control. You are believing that you can do this, you can do that, but you are always coming back to the same point of a problem occurs. You are bored. You feel depressed. You are anxious. You are tired. Something very tough is happening in your life and you don't think twice and you are watching again. But you believe that you must do it alone. So this is the very first thing to do it is to opening it, is to open up. And for those people who haven't opened up is that if you fear of the judgment, if you fear that there will be people who will laugh at you, who will judge you. If everyone would be this way, why there are over hundreds of millions of people who suffer the same conditions, probably even worse than yours, like, do you think those people would also laugh at you? Would you laugh to yourself if you knew that the person in front of you has a porn addiction the same as you? Like, would you judge that person? That's, for example, one of the reasons why I started my program, No Porn New Me. It's a program where one of the values we are creating is the environment of acceptance, environment where there are people who are different yet the same. We are all different, but we share the same backstory. We share like the same problem, and that's the porn addiction. So it's a development of the environment where people can be open about it and make their first steps to overcome it. So I would say, like, this is like the most important thing, the most important step to do is to open up and believe. And I can promise you that there are people who will help you.
Well, that's very useful and practical for anyone in the audience interested. So you have a particular Discord community, or how should people reach out to you and join?
Right now, we are developing a Instagram account. We are going on a social media. The name is No Porn New Me. But it's spelled with an X. So many reasons there are behind it. So to spell it out, it's NOPXRN NEWME. It's No Porn New Me, but the word porn has an X instead of O. The reasons why, you will learn when you join. there are many, many connections to reasons why it is designed in this way. It's, one of the, for example, reasons is that one of the steps we are helping people is by the stage called optimization. It's a stage where you are learning about how the addiction is in some ways communicating with you, how it is telling you or whispers to you that this is real, you have to do this, you cannot stop it, and so on. Like, understanding what parts of your life are being controlled by addiction and understanding what are the effects of it. That's one of the many reasons why we decided to put an X into the word porn. Another reason is just like a censoration. So to say it again, we are on the Instagram, and it is No Porn New Me, NOPXRN NEWME, No Porn New Me. I'm focusing on the addiction itself, to which is the masturbation connected to, not just the masturbation. I met people who are addicted to masturbation, just masturbation. I mean, in order to be addicted to something, you have to have the super, not only pornography, but we are talking about a supernatural stimuli, which is, very simply put, it's a reward. It's a type of reward where your brain creates a big amounts of dopamine, which are not necessarily the reward, the pleasure molecules, but they are connected with the reinforcement of behavior, but not, as mentioned, not necessarily with the pleasure itself. They are part of it. And we have this natural and supernatural stimuli. When we are talking about natural stimuli are, for example, socializing with friends, being hugged, hearing something, hearing a compliment. These are like a eating a food that also can be categorized as a natural stimuli. But when we are introduced to supernatural stimuli, for example, drugs or the masturbation with the...
I think this might be a language barrier thing. A better word? I think the phrase is super stimuli. It's supernatural means something else in English. Supernatural means... Yeah, that's what supernatural kind of means. It means mystical or spooky.
When our behavior gets rewarded by the supernatural stimuli, what happens is that our brain gets a rush of dopamine. And because there's a rush of dopamine, there is a big need to repeat the behavior. For example, when it is not happened instantly after the first session of watching pornography, but it takes less sessions or like less times to consume pornography in order to be addicted, rather than, for example, being rewarded by the natural stimuli. So the thing is that because it is supernatural, it is something that has the ability to capture us. And that's how our brain is primed to seek the reward. What is rewarded gets repeated. What gets punished gets avoided. So anything that gets rewarded will repeat. Anything that gets super rewarded will be more intensely urged to repeat it again. We are talking about prime needs of human nature, for the need to eat and drink, the need for the nutrition, a need to reproduce, and need to socialize. So if we have some kind of reward that is supernatural and goes in one of these categories, it is very easily to get hooked on. That's why some people have problems with they have addiction to eat. They're eating high food because we are talking about a supernatural stimuli, a very strong reward that is basically tied to one of our prime instincts. So it's like a trying to control the nature of a human, which works. Because otherwise, the pornography industry wouldn't be as big as it is. The fast food industry wouldn't be as big as it is. And also social media. Because the pleasure it is created with the engagement in social interaction is very highly rewarded. That's why it is very easy to pursue and very highly rewarded, and which creates the addiction to be in that environment where on social media. May I ask, would you like to be the host, or like, would you just ask questions, Brandon?
I don't know. I'm really not a good host.
Just asking questions. Like, tell me what you are interested in, and if there is something you would like to add, or expand with your knowledge or experience, it's a conversation. The podcast is just a recorded conversation. So, yeah, just questions and opinions. Nothing else.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to give like a general overview of how these things start and, you know, how they develop over time and why it becomes so hard to.
All right.
Take it after a while. Yeah.
A really good question. Oh, a very good question. I came to conclusion that it all starts as a curiosity. It starts mostly in the teenage, where well, children are started to be interested in this sexual aspect, the intimate aspect of the life. And because of this and the easy accessibility to this massive library of information, what is stopping them from them to being instantly introduced to something that they are not ready to be exposed to? So, I also have done a survey for in my local town, where I asked a few questions of students from the high school, and from the 300 responses I got, the two reasons why children, or like why they started to watch pornography, were curiosity, the need to seek some kind of entertainment. The curiosity. And the second one was procrastination, the need to be entertained. These are the two, at least from, like, it's a small survey, right? So we are not talking about like a very big discovery. And most likely there are already data that are more in depth and with bigger quality and professionalism. This was done by me, and I discovered that it's the curiosity and the procrastination, the feelings of I'm bored, I want to be entertained. These are the two main factors how, in most cases, it started.
Okay.
There are also cases where it wasn't unintentional. For example, a child managed to, like in the times before the internet, managed to find a magazine in parents' drawer. Playboy magazines. Magazines where the pornography or the naked human bodies were captured, for a shooting and just send it to make money.
Like a parent or a friend that has one, and then they just kind of like sneak a peek.
Yeah.
Because they're curious about.
So the curiosity, sometimes very unfortunate event. For example, in the kindergarten or in the elementary, in the elementary, like a first, like at the age of 7, 8, this one guy with the phone and telling, look what I got, look what I just found, I found porn, and everybody's just curious because they're children and they saw it. So curiosity, the procrastination, and sometimes it's just an accident. Then it starts to, as it gets into this, like the prime stage, the primary stage, where they are consuming it in beliefs that they have it under control. Because like most of the people right now are addicts, but they have no idea of it because they haven't really tried to stop with it. Because what I got was from the survey of the 300 children, 103 were watching pornography twice and more times per week, but only 18 of them said that they are addicts. So basically we are talking about if this would be true, right? It's a small scale survey, and yeah, there are a lot of things that needs to be done in order to be more grab more value. But if this would be true, we are talking about every third child is watching pornography in very intense manners without being aware that he or she is an addict. And the only reason why people are not aware of it, because they think they have it under control. I can stop whenever I want. But they haven't really tried. So this is how it basically starts to wrap up in your life, and it starts to create the value and trying to trying to make you full, trying to make your problems in your life seem as if they are solved. Because the very thing that is fueling the addiction is the negative emotion, the negative experience. When you are firstly watching the pornography, it can be, in most of the cases, it's about just curiosity. You are curious, you are bored, right? You are just bored, you want some kind of entertainment, so you are watching it. But later on, the more it starts to be rewarded, you are seeking more reasons why you should watch it. And because you know you start to feel good about it, you start to solve problems that are making you uncomfortable. You're depressed, you are tired, you have an anxiety, you are stressed, you are for example, you are lonely, which happens a lot, since all of the children nowadays are choosing to live in digital reality instead of the real one. They have problems to, a lot of the time they have problems to communicate with each other, and it's easier to talk through the phone. So because of this, it creates a negative experience, a negative emotions, which naturally we want to avoid the pain. And therefore, we are seeking solutions to solve this. So after
you want something to help you feel good.
Yeah. And because of this, you remember, wait, when I watched pornography, I felt good. So you are now associating the feeling of pleasure, the feeling of relief, the coping with, you are coping the negative the negative situations. And the more you do it, the more situations you are trying to cope with it. So it starts to get more serious, because also as you are growing, you are experiencing the life as it is. You are no longer in this, how in my country we are saying, with this pink glasses, like seeing everything as perfect as it is, as a child, as you saw. You are getting...
That's the common saying.
Yeah. So, because of this, and life is becoming more and more tough, then the more situations for you to cope through the pornography. And this is how it can wrap around your life. And the problems are not getting solved. You are consuming and you cannot stop, and you believe you have it under control until you really try it. Until it is already wrapped around your life, until you see that you are isolated, you are not caring for yourself, you lost the interest in socializing, being with friends, doing anything else than other high stimuli activities. For example, playing a lot of the games on the computer. Then after that, when you realize that I want to do something else, but now you cannot. And this is the most of the times where people are getting the awareness, are being aware of this is a problem.
Yeah, and it doesn't always come on like all at once. You don't just suddenly realize, wait, I have all these issues now. It's something that comes over time. You start by just feeling like, oh, I don't feel like doing that right now, I'll do it later, you know. And then over time you get more and more of like that sense of just like, this, something's wrong here. You know, I don't ever feel like doing these things, you know. Yeah. So,
and to summarize it, it starts in a very subtle ways, more like a interest, just an idea, like what if. And so on. So entertainment, boredom, and sometimes it's just by accident. Then it goes through the stages of feeling it. You are feeling with the negative experience, emotions, the stress, the depression, the loneliness, the feeling tired, and you are coming up with the solutions to why you should watch it. And later it starts to become a main source of solving every problem in your life, which you are not solving. But until you decided to, all right, this is not working, I want to stop. It is already too late to just stop using your willpower. You can stop. You can get out of it. But relying just on the willpower, I will do it now. I will start tomorrow. I won't do it. I won't watch it. But it's a willpower. It's a finite source. Same with the motivation. It's a finite source for every day. And the moment you deplete it, you are defenseless.
Usually starts as a thought, yeah.
Exactly. What is interesting is that it starts to get so wrapped around your life in the ways that you can have conversation with someone outside of your house, outside of the environment, in school, for example, with your classmate. But here and there are these pops of images of your favorite video or like the most video you have been interested in recently. So it's like it is starting to flash as an images or like a small shorts in your daily life, and it just starts in the head.
Because of the way that you condition yourself when this is going on, like anytime you have a negative experience, it's going to start to trigger those sexual kind of feelings and desires. And so naturally you're going to start imagining a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Masturbation is very common to go along with it, or on its own even. Yeah, a lot of it is psychological, yeah? Because your brain produces all those chemicals. And so just imagining a lot of those things or seeing them on the screen, it still makes you feel a lot of those same feelings.
Yeah. What is interesting is that it's a non-substance drug, which means that you are not required to intake some kind of stop substance in case of, for example, alcohol or methamphetamine and so on and so on. Most of it, if I'm correct, then like all of it is happening just psychologically in your mind. Imagine like a virus. Imagine like someone is hacking your mind, producing chemicals in the manners, in the ways that makes you want to do it again and again and again and again and again. Which basically the pornography is that. It's a product that is tapping into your subconscious, your primal instincts, what makes humans part of the nature, and reprogramming it in a ways that you want to consume it more and more.
Right. So let's maybe move over to some solutions, like how you can start to get past this and really make progress towards, mm-hmm. you know, living a healthier life and having a better understanding of it.
I believe that me and Brandon, we are the living examples of it was tough, but it's possible.
I mean, that you can still have like images come to mind, and like, every once in a while you'll still have some of those urges and you're like, oh, maybe I want to do this. And then, you know, over time you can kind of build up psychological or like mental defenses
mm-hmm.
that will kick in right away. And you'll be like, oh no, that I don't want that.
So it's like, you know, cannot fully get rid of it because it's something natural. Like even people that don't have porn addiction can have sexual fantasies. But the thing is that you are reprogramming your mind so that it's no longer associating those images with the need to consume porn. So basically, it is normal to have those sexual images.
Thoughts and desires are very normal and natural for people to have. That kind of stuff is normal. The pornography is a tool that they turn to as a crutch for whatever they're dealing with at the time. It's an inappropriately... let's see, what's the right way to phrase this? It's not a healthy way to navigate and deal with those feelings. You know, there's better... Yeah, there's definitely healthier alternatives for how to manage those things. Ways, better ways to look at it and deal with them.
So the question of how we should deal with this. Anyone who is listening, take notes. All right. So the opposite of addiction is connection. The opposite of addiction is connection and relationships. It is not the abstinence. It is connection and relationship. It is the very first thing you are being robbed of the moment a porn is becoming more powerful and is becoming a bigger part of your life. Because what essentially does, its goal is to isolate you. It wants you to don't have any social interaction with the real world, making you believe that you have to do it alone. You cannot share it outside. You cannot, because people will judge you. People will laugh at you. No one is there to help you. You have to do it. You have to prove yourself that you can do it alone. This is wrong. This is basically what these are, for example, one of the conversations you are having with the addiction. This is literally can be described, can be portrayed as the addiction talking to you that you want to, that you have to be alone. You have to do it. You have to do this alone. Otherwise you are no one. You are worthless, which is completely wrong. So because it is trying to isolate you, it makes you living in the environment, in the conditions where it has its power. And because you are no longer connected with the outside world, with the real world, it creates a world in your mind where you feel you are in power. You may feel you are in control, but you are not. And it makes you question what is for me else rather than other than addiction. So the opposite of addiction is connection and relationships. The reason why it is important for people to open up is to create a connection with the real world, understanding that there are people who won't judge you. There are people who will understand you, who will not laugh at you. And you would be surprised how many people share the same story. But again, the same as you, they are not willing to talk about it. In case of, for example, me, I was an addict for 7, 8, perhaps 9 years, and I managed to get out of it. And one of the crucial steps was for me to open up and understanding and experiencing the acceptance that there are people who will want to hear you out. If you still, even till now, believe that there are no people, and if you think about it, if you would met the same person that has the same problem as you, which are plenty of them, imagine that you would met this person and he would start to talk about the porn addiction. Would you judge that person? Would you laugh at that person? Would you judge them? So there are people who are here to help. There are many people and they're always where. The hope was always there. It is just sometimes hard to see. This is the most important step. And from that point, it is more about creating a real value in your life and replacing it by the fallacies and the fake beliefs of what the pornography is trying to give it to you. Because the pornography is nothing but a void that cannot be filled. The more you try, the bigger the void becomes. That's why first you need to understand that it is not real, that you have to do it alone. You must understand that there are people who had the same, most likely even worse conditions as you, and they managed to get out of it. So it's possible. And from that point of being deprogrammed, it is about understanding how the addiction works, understanding what in which parts of my life it is the addiction that is talking to me, and learning how to refuse its requests and how to then ignore it. Together, I believe you can make the change.
I believe so too.
Yeah.
That's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, then don't forget to click that follow button.